who hails the brokenhearted. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, this is the best listened to show on the station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Oh.
He heals the brokenhearted.
Heals the brokenhearted.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And that was Dr. John Palmer.
Yes.
And Dr. Anthony Chiffo.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you, we love Jesus.
We most certainly do.
Attaboy, Dr.
Yeah,
Palmer.
Why not?
We got some show today.
I hope we do.
Oh,
we're
yeah,
in real
yeah,
trouble.
Yeah, yeah. We have Maureen Russell.
Yeah.
Takes care of the outreach program for the Holy Spirit Church in Floral Park, I believe it is. Maureen, are you on?
Yep, I'm on here.
Okay, so you're the outreach director.
I'm the outreach coordinator for actually Our Lady Victory.
Victory, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
In Floral Park, right?
In Floral Park, that's
yes.
right.
Okay, so welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you.
You know,
for
it's important.
Coming.
It's important you're on because the outreach programs of the diocese are the unsung heroes of all the people who are in pain. You're there
yes.
for those in need.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
our
think...
listeners may not know about you or what you do.
Or even what is outreach all about. That's what I would like to get
yeah.
into.
So,
well, I agree. I think a lot of people don't realize that the majority of the parishes on Long Island in the diocese have an outreach office that is specifically there for people that are in need of help. And it can be, you know, primarily, or the majority of them run the food pantry, and there's food available for people that are just, you know, have a difficult time getting in between paychecks or having, you know, difficult times, you know, paying their bills.
That in itself is so important.
Oh,
I know
absolutely.
So many people in my private practice who come to the outreach programs.
Really?
And they're helped, yes.
Yeah, that's good to know, because I think a lot of people don't even realize we're there, you know.
Absolutely.
I was running the outreach office over in St. Catharines and also in St. Vincent's in Elmont and St. Catharines in Franklin Square.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful, like, I guess unsung, I'm not the unsung hero, but the volunteers... They're there. They're wonderful people, and they're there like religiously. They show up every single week, and whenever somebody comes to the door and they just need help, different needs often arise. But it's a wonderful way that the church can reach out to those in need. And sometimes the people that are coming for food, as you get to know them, you realize their stories are a lot deeper than just the food that they're coming for.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you can actually help them in other ways sometimes.
I was just going to ask you that, Maureen.
Yeah.
Do you also get involved? I know you give out food pantries. Do you give out clothing, coats, and stuff like that also? Or do you collect
some
those?
Of them do. As of right now, we hold on to some clothing, but we can give them like a voucher to go to St. Vincent de Paul. So St.
Okay.
Vincent de Paul, the actual store, has like a relationship with the outreach offices, and if they have a St. Vincent de Paul conference, they oftentimes we can send them over there, and we
right.
can give them a voucher, and they can go get
yeah,
clothing.
I know the one you're talking about on Hempstead Turnpike in Elmont.
Well, there's one
yeah.
also
yes.
on Jericho.
Yeah.
Well, there's one on Jericho, which is actually the store, but there's St. Vincent de Paul Church that's in
yes.
Elmont.
Right.
So
yes.
they. It can get very confusing. There's the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and that's
yes.
like they work alongside, and they often work together with the outreach offices. So now I just recently started at Our Lady of Victory. We're creating an outreach office, but the St. Vincent de Paul Society in Our Lady of Victory have been feeding the poor and giving money, you know, to those in need and all sorts of things, whether it be furniture or beds. They've been doing it for years,
right.
long before there was an outreach office there.
Now, is this a new entity for Our Lady of Victory, or is
yes.
this something... Oh, it is a new venture, huh?
Well, yeah. This is a brand new... we're creating an outreach office right now. Father Tom Fusco just came recently
as
the new pastor,
yeah.
and he hired me to create the outreach office, which would really encompass a lot of different things. We're going to actually feed... you know, run a food pantry, and which the St. Vincent de Paul Society has been doing it for years. So we'll work together with them to do that. But outreach can also encompass, like, bereavement, people that have special needs, children. We can offer, we're going to help coordinate, they have already a special needs mass that specifically is designed to for children with special needs, so they feel comfortable, and anything that can happen there. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful mass, and that could come under outreach. We also offer a night for a respite night, so parents can actually bring children for 2 hours, like on a Friday night from 6 to 8, and they can go out, and they can go out and have a night out, and their children will be cared for by specially trained volunteers that know exactly how to deal with special needs, that are trained in it. The majority of them all work in schools with special needs. So they're thoroughly trained and prepared for almost anything that can happen. And it offers the parents a night out, you know, just a little break, and the kids get treated like, you know, heroes there. They can do whatever they want. They can, I mean, safely, they can go to the gym, they play board games, they paint, they do all sorts of activities. So it's really, it's a nice night. So, and that's one thing that falls under outreach also.
You're doing what Pope Francis says the church should be doing.
It's beyond it's beyond what I thought it was all about. Anyway, this is all going on in Our Lady of Victory Church. You're doing
Our Lady of Victory Church, but also St. Catherine's.
Yes,
I just
recently so many parishes.
St. Catherine's parish in Franklin Square. Yes. But almost, I can't say every single parish, but almost every parish in the diocese probably has an outreach office.
I checked the bulletins recently for another purpose, and they all have an outreach program.
Mm, okay.
And it's so wonderful that they're there.
It really is. And I think it's you know, something that a lot of people don't even realize is there, because I find even the people that I know, you know, oftentimes any one of our friends could come upon horrible circumstances, like an accident, a crisis, somebody gets sick, maybe the father, the family, you know, can't work for 3 months, 4 months because something happened, he had an operation, or he got hit by a car, whatever
or
it may be,
off.
And it could put the family in tough circumstances, which they never, you know, planned and planned their life. You know, for that not necessarily to happen, but it's so good for them to know, for anyone to know that they can come to the church. And we're there for all of that, you know, all those circumstances. Help them get through the crisis, help them in any way we can to get through the circumstances they're in.
So
you know?
it's not just providing food, but it's providing many other services to help the ones that are needy or that are against some sort of roadblock in life.
Now,
As I was preparing, I was almost like, it really is the, you know, the corporal works of mercy.
Yes,
really.
It is.
Oh, good term.
Yes,
you know, and that's something that we don't have always pull into our, we don't always remember, you know, but they are, it's, you know, to feed the hungry, you know, drink to the thirsty, and, you know, just all the things that come, you know, can come across someone's plate in life. And it could be tragedies. It could be any, you know, somebody getting sick, somebody coming into circumstances that were beyond their control, or if they were even in their control. And you know, sometimes people have just made bad choice after bad choice sometimes. And I found I love doing it because as I'm a trained psychotherapist, but this is like a mixture of everything. Oftentimes, they might come in, and you sit down with someone, as their story unfolds, you realize, you know, there might be other ways you can help them. And sometimes they just need a listening ear.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they just need someone that they can unload on, you know? And that in and of itself is helpful sometimes.
Yes.
But my piece of it, I really always try to make sure the volunteers know that we do something very similar to social services. We try to help people, whether it, you know, they give food stamps, they give maybe housing, they give other services, but we do it in the name of Jesus. We do it because Jesus called us to do this. And that's why, like, even if we're packing up bags, a lot of the volunteers over at St. Catherine's and St. Vincent's, I'd like them to put in little, you know, pictures of Divine Mercy, you know, put little pieces of the fact that this is Jesus' call. This is specifically the Catholic Church reaching out to you. It's not social services. I think
Dr. Palmer has a song waiting, but
I have the theme song.
I have several questions for you that I have to ask, but we'll ask those questions after Palmer gets off his pins and needles and plays his song.
Okay, that's great.
So sit tight.
This is the theme song for human services and outreach programs.
Very good.
Well, wait till you hear it.
You're going to love it, Maureen. You're going to love it.
It's coming.
It's on its way?
Yeah, on its way.
He's a little old. You got to give him a little time.
Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose. Not too far from here. Somebody's forgotten how to trust. And somebody's dying for love. Not too far from here. It may be a stranger's face, but I'm praying for your grace to move in me and take away the fear. 'Cause somebody's hurting not too far from here. Help me, Lord, not to turn. Somebody's dying for love, not too far from here. Now I'm letting down my guard, and I'm opening my heart. Help me speak your love to every needful ear. Someone is waiting not too far from here. Someone is waiting not too far from
Isn't that what you do?
That is beautiful. That is a beautiful... I've never heard that song before. It's beautiful.
That's Michael Crawford singing that. And it's just so pretty.
Yeah.
And
oh,
it states... And I pray about the music that we play.
Mm-hmm.
That song came up first regardless of it. Because that's what you're doing. Now, Mary, you worked a couple of other places.
Maureen.
Yeah, that's
okay. I'm sorry.
Maureen is really little Mary. Hold on,
but you worked a couple of other places.
I did.
And you've done all these other things that you're talking about. Do you have any stories that you can share of how people have been touched by Human Services and your outreach program?
You know, as you were playing that song, it just struck me that one of the stories, one of the moms that lost her husband, she was a widow. She came in, and she'd been coming in, you know, for food and stuff. And just before Christmas, she was just feeling the weight. I think it's you know, being a single mother with two young kids and, you know, the worries of the kids
sure.
and, you know, and finances and everything. And she was just coming in to talk, and she was just, and we got to know her pretty well, and she's lovely, and she, you know, she was just having kind of the weight of Christmas on her shoulders. And it was just funny that just not more than like the day before, somebody else called the outreach office and said, can I just drop off my old Christmas tree? My wife wants a brand new Christmas tree, and this old one, it still has the lights, it's great, but she wants a new one. I just want to drop it somewhere. I hate to leave it in the garbage. So I was like, okay, well, we'll take it. I'm not sure who we're going to give it to, but we'll take it. And the very next day, this woman came in, and she said, she was just like almost at a breaking point a bit, and the tears were running down her face. She's like, I don't even have a Christmas tree for the kids. I don't have, I can't do it all. Christmas is coming, and her husband had died a couple of years before that, and she was at a breaking point. But honestly, how often do we ever get Christmas trees? Hardly ever. It was the day before this woman walked in, and I could out and out tell her that we have a Christmas tree with all the lights in perfect condition that's waiting for you. And she lived literally like a couple of blocks away, so we could have just dropped it off at her house, and we were helping her with presents, and we had known about, you know, we know our list of people that we help and the people that come in, but it was like almost God's hand.
That's right.
Just literally knowing
absolutely
how that was all going to unfold.
Yeah,
and the Christmas tree, normally I was like, well, we really don't have room for it. I had so many other things in the outreach office, so I was thinking, how am I going to do this Christmas tree? I don't know where it's going to go. Who's going to need it? Literally within 24 hours, this woman walked in. She needed lots of other things, but it was just, there was something about the Christmas tree that struck me that it was like divine
preordained,
intervention.
Preordained by God.
Absolutely.
Maureen,
yeah.
A question.
And Jesus took pity on this woman.
Yes, absolutely.
And gave her that gift.
And,
isn't that
and
beautiful?
And used Maureen as his instrument.
As his instrument.
Yeah.
Now, Maureen,
yes.
The burning question in my mind,
mm-hmm.
which I have that burning question for a lot of my guests. What, you're a trained
psychotherapist,
yep.
And you have licenses and all.
Mm-hmm,
and, but
yes.
What made you turn to the outreach program to serve God? Why did you do it? What was your calling? How did it happen? Because there are many listeners out there that are getting callings. They don't even know they're getting the callings.
They don't know they're getting the calling, yeah.
Yes.
You
so
know what?
What happened?
I was home 10 years with my kids. I actually used to work at the diocese years ago before I had my children and when I just first got married. And then when I had my second daughter, my husband and I decided I just wanted to stay home with them. So, you know, and now that my kids are a little older, I have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, 11-year-old, and an 8-year-old.
Got a full house.
Wow. Yeah, I do. But now that they're all at school, I was kind of like, I could do a little bit more. I wasn't sure what direction I wanted to go in, and then a friend of mine offered me to go into private practice with her. That was working well, but it was a little inconsistent, and I was like, you know, I could probably do more than I'm doing, and I'd much rather work while the kids are in school. Like, the kids are really my priority, and
mm-hmm.
I just want to do something. I need to be there for them,
absolutely.
And but I'd like to do something more than just, you know, during the day while they're in school. So, to be honest, I was just praying over it. I prayed. I love the Divine Mercy.
Right.
I was doing Divine Mercy Chaplet and just asking for directions. And to be honest, my parents had run into Monsignor Rick.
Right.
And
Catherine's.
Just so mentioned right around that time that he was looking for, you know, he had advertisements out for an outreach worker. And they had mentioned that I was looking. And then I just applied for the job. So I kind of feel like God plopped that in my lap. I mean, you know, I didn't know for sure I'd get the job, but I just felt I was very open to, like, something. And the beauty of it was that I could work there while the kids were in school. And mm-hmm. that's something that I really, and I felt like it was more consistent and I could do what I love to do. And I do love psychotherapy, but I also find that it's hard to, you know, you got to put a lot more time and energy into a private practice if you're just getting going. And
yes.
This way I can work for the church. I can pull my faith into everything I do. If I'm helping someone, I'm helping because I'm working for the church. The church, I'm so lucky to be able to do that. I can pull my faith into every conversation I have. I can pull Jesus. If I was working for, like, you know, a counseling center that's not Catholic, I wouldn't be able to do that, you know, or I just feel like the outreach was just kind of
tailor-made for you.
Yeah.
I call it killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah. And, you know, with my kids really are at ages I want to still be a big part of their lives. I really, you know, between lacrosse and dropping off, picking up the games and everything, I really don't want to miss out on that. And the beauty of this is I can pull my kids into a lot of the things I do, too. Like, mm-hmm. when we have a respite night for kids with special needs, my children help me out with it, and it's a wonderful for them to be exposed to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of really turned out to be a nice job to have if I wanted to be working part-time and still be very available to my kids, you know, and be involved in their lives.
And thank God you're doing it.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I have to say it's a great job. So yeah. I'm happy to be doing it. And it's it's also exciting to start a brand new one so you can kind of pull in some of the things that might be done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to also coordinate the Rainbows Program, which is for children that are suffering divorce and death.
Yeah.
Parents
mm-hmm.
died. And that's such a great, great program. But
yeah.
You just need volunteers to do it. So it's good that I'm in this area. I know where I can send kids. There's a great program going over in Notre Dame. Notre Dame
mm-hmm.
has, like, a strong Rainbows program. So until we get one going, you know, whether it be Our Lady of Victory or hopefully somewhere in the future, I can forward that to the outreach over in Notre Dame, which is in New Hyde Park, which is not far.
Absolutely.
So it's good that we, you know, to know what's going on in the local parishes, and we all stay connected to each other. So we can all, not everybody has to do everything, you know, we can tap into each other, which is great, you know. So I think that's where.
I'd like to go back to that Christmas tree, because you reminded me of something that I got in. I pray every day, and I listen, and I use my imagination, and I write whatever comes into my head. And this morning in Scripture, Jesus pulled away by himself and with the apostles to be alone. And then the crowds kind of knew that, and they went to where he was going to land. And this is the Scripture I focused on. When Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them.
Wow.
For they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, which is what you're doing. And these are the words I received.
Fits in very well.
Wow.
Yeah. Indeed, dear friends, he's talking to our listeners. Indeed, dear friends, that is what I do each day. I am like a lovelong columnist in your local newspaper. I see you struggling with the concerns of life and time, and I take pity on you. I rise to your conscious awareness with my divine advice to your heart, your soul, and your mind. I know best how to handle each concern of your today and time. That's because I'm timeless love. I have solutions for each and every concern you have. If you notice, I said solutions. I did not give only one solution and tell you take it or leave it. That would be heartless of me to do this. Instead, I speak sweet nothings in your ears of faith. Listeners, I teach you to be silent in my love. And then we talk things over internally. I offer an infinite number of solutions to your concerns. I help you see my options for the resolution of each concern that you have, and you begin to see things my way. I do not expect that you'll drop everything to run and do this solution or that solution. After all, you are human. You do have a free will. Thus, I stand aside and wait to see what you'll do. I then return to commend you or to help you amend your human solution by sharing more of our divine advice in you. You see, while I am divine, I am also divinely realistic. I know, I follow the research on readiness. I know that when you're able to read me more clearly, you'll jump to our solutions in love. In the meantime, I wait for events to occur in your life and time to help you to get to see our light in your darkness. If you notice, I did not give one religious platitude. I simply tell you that platitudes are nice. However, it's action on your part that I wish to entice in you so that you move closer to me one moment at a time in your walk in time. It's only after you follow our will freely and you begin to see our results that our religious platitudes begin to make sense to you. In fact, it won't be long before you start spouting such platitudes to others in pain. They'll look at you kind of funny, listeners, and continue on doing what they wish. Pray for them, that they begin to open the ears of their hearts to my voice of truth and love in them. Then if they do, you will hear them spouting our platitudes to others. Won't that be special? That's kind of what you do, Maureen. Yeah. You bring them to Jesus and he touches them.
But I think it also ties in with my opening statement, praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. I think
that's
very
beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, it was very nice, Dr. Palmer.
Statement.
But
yeah,
the only question is, well, why does Jesus use those big words?
Because I can understand them and you can.
Okay.
You see how loving we are.
That's right. You really are. You work well together. Oh, that's great. That's really beautiful, though. I do think so much of, you know, what could come across any, knock on any door in any parish, and it's the suffering. It's people that are, you know, confused, trying to make decisions. And as you were saying that, I'm like, there's so many younger kids, teenagers, young adults that are, don't listen. They don't have the quiet time. Like, you need to quietly hear that. And they're all in their iPods. And I have my iPhone now, too. But I think so much of our quiet time is being, you know, swallowed up with technology and the computer. So it's hard to hear God's voice when you're not quiet enough to listen.
You know what? You hit the nail on the head. Because Jesus wants to talk to all of us. Jesus wants to communicate with all of us. You know, not just Dr. Palmer or myself or what.
Right.
But what we need to do is to get rid of the noise. And to listen. And to wait to see how he's talking to us. Because he talks a little differently to all of us. Some he talks through the thoughts in the brain.
My imagination.
Some through imagination. Some through pictures and et cetera. But we need to concentrate.
And we can't knock technology. I wrote that on my iPad.
I can't knock technology. My guess is, you know, using it wisely and using it prudently. And that's something, it's coming so fast at us that it's like, you know, everybody wants to have the latest thing and the latest, and my kids would roll their eyes if they heard me saying, because I'm always saying, how long have you been on that, trying to take them off it so that they're not on it too long, because we need to be connecting with each other as people, you know, as siblings, as friends, and you know, when you're standing in the corner rather than everybody on their iPhone, look at each other and, you know, just smile or make conversation, you know. Technology has its place. I think what we need to do is teach our young people to use it prudently and wisely and, and use it for what it can be good for,
And it's not hard to do.
No.
All you have to do is say the Our Father, quiet yourself, and then write whatever comes into your head.
Absolutely, but clear the noise. Yes. Maureen, there are listeners out there that I get and I gather that would like to use your services or the services of any outreach, but if they are, I mean, how do they get in touch with you, say? And if they're needy of food or advice or clothing or whatever.
I would recommend, I would recommend anyone going to their local Catholic church. And our telephone number, what you could do is just call. Our outreach is still kind of new. So if you called Our Lady of Victory in Floral Park, you could call 516-354-0482. But anyone beyond, you know, the Floral Park area could call their local parish and call the rectory and ask for the outreach number. And they'll put you in touch with the outreach worker, and then they could take it from there. And, you know, there is help in almost every single parish. And even if there was an outreach program, every parish offers some kind of help.
And, you know, some people are shy about calling because they don't want to let people know they need help. And so I think a thing you can say to people is, pretend you're calling Jesus.
Yes.
Oh,
or God the Father.
Yes, absolutely.
Or Mary, whoever works for you.
Right,
And
exactly.
she or he will be on the other end of that phone.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So, Maureen, if someone wants to contact you personally, they could call 516-354-0482?
That's right.
Okay. I just got a distinct feeling that there are going to be some people that are going to want to talk to you personally.
Oh, that would be great. That's great. And that's it would be my pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
There's a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people that are hurting out there, and I think there's a lot of, a lot of times it's just listening, starting with the story, hearing their story and try to put them in the right direction.
Yes.
Sometimes as the outreach workers, these outreach workers are great because they can have access to a lot of even other resources to get them more help.
Absolutely.
Or to get, and sometimes it is just one meeting and you might have someone that just needs to unload and process it. And you would know that as a therapist. If just listening with a heart listens. Like, I remember when I was going to school for psychotherapy, the one line that struck out was, I used to read Fulton Sheehan alongside, Freud and everything else. But he would say, joys shared doubles them, and sadness is shared cuts them in half.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes just sharing your sadness with somebody that is really, truly listening with their heart helps you just unload. And you walk away and you're half of it is on their plate, but half of it is not as heavy on you after the fact. So so often people don't even realize if you're a really good friend, if you really ask somebody how they are and want to know the answer and listen to the answer with your heart, and you can do somebody else a world of good too,
Absolutely.
And I have to say, I'm here trying to get an outreach office going, but here in Floral Park, there's been lots of tragedies, really awful stories, and lots of loss of children and everything. But the people in their hearts were like exploding with generosity. I mean,
absolutely.
People were calling, they dropped off dinners. Like, people just automatically want to do something when they see someone else in pain. So it's really innate, and I'd say most of us, to want to help someone that's suffering. The joy of doing an outreach office is just like, let's all do that in an organized way, Let's all try to make that happen through the church and with the church and do it together. So I just think, it's a wonderful ministry. It's a wonderful ministry.
And, you also suggested to Tony that your favorite saint is Saint Teresa Lisieux.
Yes.
And I'm playing You Never Walk Alone in the background because I'm trying to get messages across without people hearing them directly. Listeners, you're never alone. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about Saint Teresa?
This is in honor of you, Maureen, Saint Teresa Lisieux. There's a lot of confusion with Saint Teresa, with her names and stuff like that. So Saint Teresa Lisieux was a young Carmelite nun who devoted her life to loving God. As a permanent novice, she would never be able to perform great deeds while she was living. She did, however, scatter flowers, little beads of flowers as little sacrifices.
Yeah.
And a little action for God and love.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, after not feeling well for some time, she became gravely ill. And she remained silent and cheerful until the end. And that end came at the age of 24.
You were so young.
She's known, she was born Marie Teresa Martin on January 2nd, 1873. She's known as Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face. She's known as the Little Flower. She's known as the Little Flower of Jesus and as Saint Teresa Lisieux. So it gets a little confusing when you try to identify Saint Teresa. Saint Teresa's mother died when she was quite young. She grew up with her father and her four older sisters. By the way, they all became nuns. Marie, the oldest of the sisters, became a sort of mother to the family, except to little Teresa. She thought of her next oldest sister, Pauline, as her mother. "You're my mother now," she said, when her real biological mother passed away. Pauline took special care of Teresa. And perhaps because Teresa was the youngest and often ill, they all rather spoiled her. When things didn't go as she wanted, Teresa would burst into tears, just like any other child that was maybe a little spoiled. Sometimes she would do this quite deliberately, just to get her own way.
It's called a temper tantrum.
Temper tantrum. It was playing the cards. When Teresa was 8, Pauline decided to become a nun and live in a Camelot convent in Lisieux, not far from where the family lived in northern France. Camelite nuns believed that by staying in Carmel, as they called their convents, they can help people by praying for them. They hardly ever leave the convent.
Never.
And are allowed very few visitors. Teresa was incredibly miserable about losing Pauline. But Teresa slowly got used to life without her. Then, when she was 13, her oldest sister, Marie, said that she too was going to into the Carmelite. There were more tears, lots more tears. But that Christmas, things changed. Teresa made another decision. Like her older sisters, too, she wanted to enter the convent. At first, there were problems. People said she was too young to enter the Carmel. But that autumn, her father took her on a visit to Rome. She was allowed to see the Pope. When she was kneeling before him, she wasn't supposed to talk or say anything. But she spoke up. "Holy Father," she said, "allow me to enter Carmel." The Pope seemed unsure what to say to this young girl. At last he said, "If it be God's will, it will be God's will." So at the age of 15, Teresa entered the convent. The doors closed behind her. "I'm here for good," she thought, and she was happy. Even though she was near her older sister again, not everything was easy. Whenever Teresa took her turn at doing housework or weeding the garden, or one of the older nuns would always criticize her. Gradually, Teresa learned not to answer back. One of the first times she managed this was when someone had left her a little jar by a window and had gotten broken. One of the other nuns supposed it had been her fault. "You must be very untidy. You mustn't be very untidy. You must be much more careful," the nun said. Teresa nearly said it wasn't her fault, but just stopped herself and just said, "I'm sorry. It won't happen again." After 5 years, Teresa's sister Pauline became a leader of the nuns. One evening, she and Marie were talking with Teresa about when they were children. Pauline told Teresa to write down her memoirs. At first, they didn't want to, but she obediently agreed to do so. She had little spare time because she was always told to do things. So it took her more than a year. When she finished it, she gave it to Pauline. Pauline showed it to Marie. Both sisters were impressed, but they felt that Teresa should write more about her little way. That is, her way of pleasing God by doing little things for other people and putting up with things without complaining. Just like you, Palmer.
Just like Maureen. Yeah, just like you, Maureen. But, not like you, Tony. He doesn't do anything for anybody, Maureen. He really is selfish as any. I can't help it. Now the truth is out.
It's out. But by now, Teresa became seriously ill. She was only 24. And she died at 24 of tuberculosis.
That's seriously ill.
In those days, there was no cure for that illness. Mm. Even so, Marie encouraged Teresa to finish writing her story. Although Teresa was in great pain, she did so, completing it 2 months before she died. Her book describing her little way of serving God was published after her death. Since then, it has sold millions of copies all around the world and has inspired Christians. It shows how anyone can serve God, not by doing big, tremendous things, not by having shows or anything like that, just doing little things in the spirit of love and kindness, much like you, Maureen, if you don't mind me
that's
saying.
That's right.
And I could see why.
And
I was
Trevor,
to say
and
to
Trevor, and
Trevor,
and what he does.
In his ministry?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the you're both doing it.
The edited version of the book was called The Little Way. But when the full text became available in 1958, the book was called The Autobiography of a Saint.
Yeah.
And so that's how you become a saint.
She walked with Jesus.
Walked with Jesus yeah. in a little
and Mary,
way.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's my brief.
You know,
I have a lot more, but that's my brief
story. It
also
fits what our little secret admirer writes when he gives us a reflection for the week. Do you mind if I read that?
No,
then?
By all means. Palmer, we have someone that gives us a reflection every week that wants to remain anonymous.
Anonymous.
And so Palmer reads it because I'm from Brooklyn. I don't have a good pronunciation. Okay, Palmer,
right.
Please read it.
Okay, and you know that playing that you never walk alone in the background. I never thought it was going to work
it
as much.
Beautifully.
It's so nice, you know.
It very nice.
Yes. That's
beautiful.
The spirit. They brought Jesus to all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole crowd was gathered at the door. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. That's Mark. How evident it must have been to the people of Jesus, time and place, that something new was happening through him. The people cared much for those who were suffering. They wanted to see them cured and well again, not unlike what you want, Maureen, and I want, and Tony. It's normal, isn't it? But it is it the same for us today? Do we want to bring to Jesus those who may be suffering spiritually and emotionally as well as physically? It's quite easy and common today to remain indifferent to this aspect of human suffering. We sort of allow ourselves to become immune when we see it before us. We may feel it's not our place to speak words of witness and faith to a suffering person, even a relative. If that's the case, how we have missed the point of being called a Christian. Sharing the Christ in your heart with another may be the best gift you can offer someone. How might we come to have this conviction? Jesus himself gives us the answer. He prayed. Prayer, dear friends, dear listeners, has the power to melt away the indifference and the sense of being overwhelmed by human suffering. Prayer helps us to have a heart like Jesus' heart, meek and humble, reaching out to the person I am with to comfort them by bringing them Jesus in my words and actions. That's what you do, Maureen.
Yeah, and that fits beautifully with your work, Maureen.
That is, it just reminds me of what I, even when I used to work at the diocese, I remember somebody coming to visit me, and just, he was like a deacon, and I couldn't even tell you his name, but I remember him telling me that you have to pray more. And it struck me, like, there was so much paperwork, there was so many things I was like, I had on my mind that I wanted to do, but it hit me, like, right
in the Lobanza.
Yeah, really, it was very powerful when he left, and I thought, wow, I really do need to pray more. If I'm going to be doing the work of the church, I need to do a lot more praying. But anyway, you know, fast forward 15 years now that I'm working here in the office, and when I was over at St. Catherine's, I think one of the most important things I love to bring into that office was I'd take the volunteers, and we'd sit down. You know, it would get busy sometimes, but I'd be like, we're going to do a decade of the rosary. And we'd sit down together and just do a decade of the rosary. But right before we'd start, we'd just find out who we need to pray for. And before you know it, you know, a lot of the volunteers had grandchildren or friends or lots of people that needed to be prayed for in their lives.
Absolutely.
And then I also said, you know, let's pray for the people that are going to be walking through the doors, you know, that we'll come in contact with today. But that one decade of the rosary I found to be so powerful to myself, to my volunteers, and to kind of like refocus all of us as to why are we all here. You know, you can be doing something, but if you don't remember why you're doing it, or just step away from it briefly to invite God into it, then it might take a different tone. You know, if you're having a bad day, or you might get, you know, short with someone, or get aggravated because you've seen this person too many times, or our humanity can get in the way if we don't stop and just make God a part of that, you know, that outreach office that day. You know, we're often open maybe 2 or 3 hours, a couple of hours, but when I'd stop, I would refocus. For that brief 5 minutes of the decade of the rosary, I found like I was touched by the other volunteers.
Yes.
We were praying for them. We were praying for their family members. We were praying for their friends. We were praying for the people that were going to walk through that door. So it was like allowing God to be a part of all that we were doing. And it was really important. It was something that sounds small, and a decade only takes 5 minutes, you know, but it was far more profound than you would think,
yes.
I guess, than anyone realizes.
I just want to mention something, Maureen. You really touched a good point. When I opened the show, I said that he who created the stars promised to heal the brokenhearted and gathered those lost in exile from him. And as you were talking, I got that you are one of his instruments to heal the brokenhearted and to gather those lost in exile.
Wow. That's,
and I'd like to do just what you said. I'd like to stop and have you lead us in a decade of the rosary for all of our listeners and all their pain. Would you do that for us?
Sure, I would.
Go ahead.
Wait, thank you.
Now?
Okay. Sure.
We're all holding
Father,
rosary
Son,
beads.
Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive
those who trespass against us.
And lead us not
into temptation,
but
deliver us from evil. Amen. Let's pray first for our listeners who have lost somebody during these holidays. I know a couple who lost a young man, two couples who lost one of their sons to cancer, and anyone who has in grief. Why don't we just offer the rosary for them now?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And now let's pray for those who are hungry and are without food in this cold weather and without coats. Go ahead.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death.
And let's pray for those who have serious terminal illnesses. Go ahead.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death.
Amen. And let's pray now for those who are without work and no means of income.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
You can also say any petition you want, Tony or Maureen.
Well, I would like to pray for all those petitions that we have laying before us, all those people that were asking for help and asking for guidance and that need cures for sicknesses. And so I'd like to offer this prayer for that.
Okay. Go ahead, Maureen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Maureen, do you have something you would like to
pray for? Yeah, I'd like to pray for all the people that have been touched by abortion, all the women that are suffering because of a mistake they made, and that they find healing. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
I would like to pray for those who are in serious mortal sin, that they receive the grace to turn back to God.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I'd like to pray that all of our listeners now be filled with the joy of Jesus in their heart and the love of Mary in their heart and the bond that exists between the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Touch them right now. Go ahead.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we pray now for anybody who has lost their way and doesn't believe in God and listening somehow just to this moment on the radio show.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I would like to pray and give praise and glory and thanks to Jesus and our Holy Father and the Blessed Mother for allowing us to do the show and touching people's hearts.
Even though we're going broke.
Even though we're getting old and feeble.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death.
And lastly, I'd like to pray that somehow, even at this moment in time, or somehow throughout this day, those who are lost and hurting badly find that Jesus touches them, comes into their life in some way today, even if it's just for a moment, to make them smile instead of cry. Are we done?
Yes. I think that was 10. Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Isn't it amazing when you stop for a few minutes and turn your eyes to Jesus?
Yeah.
Which is what we've done.
Yeah.
All through this past half hour. Yeah. You'll never walk alone, and playing those other songs in the background. Mm-hmm. And here we are now with Michael Smith telling people, stop, turn your eyes to Jesus. He is the primary outreach program. He's the one that will serve your needs. Yes, there's Maureen at her parish, and there are many other parishes.
And Maureen is his instrument. Maureen is his
instrument. And let Jesus touch you. He's calling to you now. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call the outreach program in your parish if you need it. And if you are really in good shape, why not call the outreach program and volunteer to help with the Ministry of Consolation and any other way that they could use you. You're warm all coats, special, listeners.
Donations of warm coats would come in nice.
You're
all
so special. You all have things that you can give. So take for a few moments, just turn your eyes to Jesus and let him move your heart to step forward, to help out in this new outreach program at Our Lady of Victory and all the outreach programs. Yes.
And thank you for answering the call, Maureen, the call
of
Jesus.
Now, thank you very much for having me.
Let's listen to the song, the words
of the song.
You
do great work out there.
Let me give you a number once more, 516-354-0482.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, let's sing along with Michael Smith.
You sing.
I'll listen. I'm a very good listener.
Yeah, okay. You don't want me to sing?
Please.
Yeah, you'll shut me off.
Maureen, thank you so much.
Thank you both so
much.
Thank you
for bringing outreach to the attention of our listeners.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
And
give our best to the pastor and tell him thank you for his
Father Tom.
Thanks for having me. God bless.
Okay, and I'll be in touch, Maureen.
Okay, great.
I'm going to send you a disc of the show.
Wonderful.
With a poster, a beautiful thank you letter. You're going to love it.
Wonderful. Thank you both, and keep up the great work. You do great things over there.
Oh, thank
you. Okay?
And you know, we have a minute left, and I want to bring something to the attention of our listeners. And the guy sitting across me is going to say, oh, no.
Oh.
Anthony Chiffo has a book called Business Development and Entrepreneurship in a Stressful Economy, and it won an award.
Oh,
and we want it's at Barnes & Noble. It's online.
Yes.
And it's going to be on Amazon. Would you just tell our listeners about it? We got a half a second.
Very quickly, it's just a guide on if you're running a business or you're doing a business or you're running a nonprofit organization. It just tells you a lot of things that you're not really taught in school about running a business and about working in an economy that's so distressful as ours right now.
That'll cost you $500. And we thank you so much.
Language, I know. See,
the name of the book again?
It's
Business Development and Entrepreneurship in a Stressful Economy.
I'll send you a book. I'll send you a copy.
Oh,
okay?
Thank you.
All
that's
right.
Great.
Take
okay.
care. Thank
Take
you.
Take care. And keep up the great work.
Okay.
Thank you. Is this really going to cost me $500?
Yes.
And God bless you, Maureen.
Trevor, you can take us off anytime you want, but I just play a little Mi Corazon in the background from Don Moen.
Maureen, thank you so much.
Bye now.
Okay. And I'll be in touch. I'm going to call you.
Okay. Have a great day.
Bye.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.